Well, if you look at political history, there's sure a lot of anecdotes about that old boy. You know, he said that he chewed and swallowed some ballots one time to win a trustee's election or something over Fairmount. But I just remember slightly that story. And
do you have any reason to believe that either Harley Hardin or Jake Campbell were members of the Ku Klux Klan?
No, I don't. The Klan was pretty active then. And at that time, in this county, you needed Klan support to be elected.
What about Judge Clausen?
I don't think the judge would have been. Harley and Jake could have been. But if they were, they weren't active in it.
Did you ever know anybody known as O.L. or Al Chasey?
Yeah. Yes, his daughter still lives here in Marion.
What is her name, you know?
No, I know.
He was assistant to the governor this time.
Was he assistant or was he?
He was an assistant to the governor, I know that.
Was he ever lieutenant governor?
No, I don't think so. Did you ever hear Harley say that he had talked to Chasey in any way during this time about anything?
I don't remember. If he did, I don't remember. Mm.
What about Ogden? He was the attorney general. Do you remember anything that might seem to be a little friction developed between Ogden and Harley?
Well, there was, because Harley told him that they could do anything they wanted to down here, but he knew damn well they couldn't get a conviction from the information that he had obtained locally, and it may have been from, if there was a proceeding before J.P. Watson, from what he gathered from that, he didn't think maybe there was enough evidence that they could get a conviction. I don't know.
Did Clausen, Hardin, or Jake Campbell wear glasses? Any of them, do you recollect?
I don't believe any of them. I don't recollect that they did.
Okay.
Clausen was a good old tobacco-chewing judge.
Is that right?
And Jake was a tobacco-chewer.
I'm going to read some names here just to see if they rang a bell. Any reason. Do you recollect the name of James Ailey, A-L-E-Y, who had been a prisoner in the jail on August the 7th, probably for trespass on a railroad ride? You
didn't know.
Did you know Les Andrews?
Yeah, very well. Policeman.
Policeman? Okay. You know anything particular about him one way or the other? Any description of any kind? Big, small, short.
He was a tall fella.
Tall fella. Been on the police force most of his life.
Yeah.
Did you ever know a black fella with the name, first name, I don't know, last name, Apple, A-P-P-L-E?
No.
Did you know Dr. and Mrs. W.T. Bailey?
Yeah.
She was president of NAACP during this time. She had ever had any conversations or was in the office that you know of with Mr. Hardin?
No, I don't. I think they were good friends.
Now, did you know Frank Ball, who was the father of Mary Ball?
No.
Anytime? He had a brother. I can't find his first name. No, Amos Bannister.
Yeah, he was bailiff.
What sort of description was he when you knew him in that time? Young? Old?
No, he was older. Um, he was just a great big jolly. That fellow was.
Chew tobacco, smoke a pipe, and then wear glasses.
He may have wore glasses. I can't remember. He lived over around Fairmount. Got a daughter in Toledo, Ohio. A man named Spurgeon. But he just was well liked.
Did you ever run into a fellow by the name of Arthur, B-A-U-N-E-R, Bonner? He was a special investigator for the Attorney General's office that was sent in here.
I probably talked to him, but I don't remember.
Charles Belleville?
Now, there was a Belleville that was on the police force, but I don't remember his first name. Yeah.
Did you participate at all in the grand jury proceedings in this case? Okay. Did you ever hear the name of
Lee? I think that I'm not even sure that Harley did. He may have, but there was a little rift between the
I got that.
The Attorney General's and our office. Although when they came in, he says that they told him that he was willing to help them, but I don't think they wanted his help. I didn't think they wanted him around much. That's the truth of the matter.
Where did they work out of? Their rooms in the Spencer? Does this ring bell at all? William Spuds Bernal? Robert Bashar, I asked you about. He was a defendant. He was a Syrian, best I can determine, and was either a store owner or a pool room owner.
I can't remember him at all.
Okay. Do you ever know anybody by the name of Albert Blair, who owned a filling station out, I think, towards Sweetser?
No.
Edward Bloom? He would have been a contractor. Juror?
No.
Do you remember this name? Edward Blotz.
Blotz.
Cut up a torso in Bucktown, buried it in a...
They took his case from here to... Hartford City.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 Did you know a C.W. Bartley, who would be a contractor? Cal Bowman?
Bartley or Bart was it Barley?
No, I have B-A-R-T. Barty. B-A-R-T-E-Y. I have here.
Barty.
C.W.
Bartley. Mm.
You know Philip Boyd?
Yeah.
He was a defendant in this.
Was he? I didn't remember that. He'd been a lot of.
What do you know about him?
Well, he's a nice guy. But he was younger. He was boisterous, and he'd fight at the drop of a hat. He's had all kinds of jobs, some post office department. He's calmed down some, I think, in later years. He was a brother-in-law of Roy Dempsey. One time a prosecutor here in this county. I don't recall that you ever got convicted of anything.
Oh, I don't
know. Of anything. I mean, he was lucky. Some of his scrapes happened while his brother-in-law was prosecutor. And if he did, why... Probably the worst thing would have been assault and battery, but he would have, he'd have been pretty young at that time.
17.
You
know Frank Brandon?
Oh, yeah, chief of police. Yeah, he was fine, yeah.
What type of fellow was he? He would stature? Big, small,
tall?
Tall.
I don't think he was chief. He wasn't chief of police at that time. He was
sergeant.
But he was a career police officer and one of the finest police officers this city ever had. He wouldn't stand for any monkey business. And he became, as far back as I know, as far as I'm concerned, the best chief of police the city ever had. He ruled that department with an iron hand. Now, he had a lot of guys on the police force who didn't like him. But he had him working.
What about Drysdale Brannan?
One of the top-notch reporters there in this town.
What guy was he?
Well, he was a fine reporter. And if there was a story any place, he got it. He was a hard-working reporter. Some people thought that maybe some of his stories were a little on the sensational side, but he wrote a story as it was, and he didn't try to color it any.
What was his stature, demeanor? Anything unusual?
No. Except that like a lot of reporters, when he come around, he really hammered you till he got what you wanted, you know. That's
Did you know an officer, a police officer by the name of Bright?
Yeah, Ray Bright.
Ray Bright, was that his name? Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you know John R. Brown?
Senior? He's the father of John R. Jr.
A good lawyer?
He was a good, excellent trial lawyer.
He was the attorney for Jake Campbell.
I remember that.
Anything particular about him? Was he politically active at the time?
I don't think John R. Sr. was ever very politically active.
He was a good trial lawyer.
But a hell of a trial lawyer, boy, I'm telling you. And he had no formal legal education, but he was a tall,
forceful
individual. And
have any peculiarities of dress or wear glasses? Don't wear glasses?
I don't think he ever wore any glasses. Peculiarities of dress. His only peculiarity was he liked a little whiskey. He'd come into the Elks Club and say, always have one shot of before I go home, but he'd stopped at the Stag and had one shot and stopped someplace else and had one shot, told everybody the same thing, but
you know Harley Burden?
Yeah.
Police officer. Anything peculiar about him? Unusual?
John? No, the only thing about Harley was that if he was on the beat or the drugstore, they always hated to see him come in because he'd always say, I'm looking after your place, and reach over in the cigar box and get a handful of cigars and put it in his pocket.
That's good. See, those are little things that you can't get anyplace, and they help add some color. They make people out of something that otherwise is just print. That's very good. What about John Burden? Did you know what John Burden
was? He was a trial lawyer. He was a lawyer, a colored lawyer.
John Burden was?
Yeah.
He was an attorney here in town? I wonder why he would be a grand jury witness.
I don't have any idea.
Pretty successful lawyer.
I think John made some money. I had his wife on a paternity case one time as a juror after he had died. This is funny. It has nothing to do with this, but I had a client, and this was depression. Yet, I had a job in the mold shop out here, Foster Forbes Glass, which was a pretty good job. I suppose he'd make $150 a month, you know, or maybe $200. It came in to me, and this was right after the repeal of the 18th Amendment, and he said, I had a woman walk up on my porch this morning and said, I'm the father of her child, which was born 2 weeks ago. And he said, I had some dates with her, but two. He said, I picked her up one night in the wintertime over at the tavern, downtown tavern. Forgot the name of it, but kind of they had a dance band, and it was kind of a rough joint, and took her out, and I had intercourse that night, first night, but she was going steady with some guy that was working for the highway department in the summertime on a job on one of the roads they were building around here, and he said, and I saw her two or three times at this Uptown Gardens tavern where it picked her up. Between that time that I had that date and between the time she came in and said, I'm the father of her child, and he said, and the last time I saw her, you could tell that she was pregnant. She said, never said anything to me about her being her father until 2 weeks after the baby's born. And I said, well, the history of paternity cases are that when a girl says that you're the father, well, you generally get stuck and it'll cost you $300. That's what the judge put out, and that was it, plus the court cost.
That was the final settlement.
That was it, right then. No support like it is now. And I said, I'll represent you up to the point of actually going to trial to see if I can get it settled for $200 or $150. But if we can't get it settled, why, you just go into court and say how much, judge, and pay it off. Roy Dempsey was her lawyer, and Roy kept dangling around like that maybe we'd get some kind of settlement. He had to go through a preliminary hearing at the JP court, and the JP found that there was probable cause showing that this man might be the father, and bounded over to circuit court. And Judge Clausen was the judge, and I'd ordered the jury. Figuring that Roy would say, well, settle it, and I don't have to work all day, you know. And we were over at the courthouse, and I got a call to go to the telephone, and when I came back, well, here come my client, just giving me hell. He said, what are you doing to me? And I said, nothing. He said, well, the prosecutor told me that I'm going to have to pay every dime that these guys, this jury people, are losing if I lose this case. And I said, that lying son of a gun tell you that? He says, that's what he told me. I said, well, the statute says that if you're for a jury trial, you pay $10 extra, I think it was at that time, on court costs, and that's all it cost you. I said, if he's lying to you like that, I said, I haven't got a damn thing to do today. I'm going to make him earn his fee. We'll just go through this jury trial. Well, every time that I would examine some man, it was obvious that he was going to find against this guy. I exhausted all my preempts. Every time I got rid of one, the sheriff bringing a woman. Ended up with six women and six men, and one of them was John Will Burton's with it. But I had one fellow on there that I knew had been quite a rounder. It was a real close friend of mine, and I thought, well, now I'll talk to him and I'll probably get a hung jury. And the evidence was that this guy picked this gal up and it was a below zero, and they went out to Motter Park and he tried to proposition her out there, and she said she wouldn't do it, it's too cold. And they got back home and and she invited him in the house. And Roy tried to make too good a case. He said they went into the front room and that he had relations with her about a half hour after they'd been there, that the lights were on in the front room, and that this lasted an hour and a half. That the front room was adjacent to a room in which her mother and stepfather were sleeping, and that when she came, and that there was no door there, it was just a curtain hung up between that, and it was the first and only time she'd ever had intercourse in her life, and that within 5 minutes after they were in the front room, that her mother called out to find out who was there, and then put the mother on the support her testimony that she had asked who was with her and that this was the guy that was with her. And so I argued that this couldn't be, that if this was the first and only time that this gal had ever had intercourse, that the mother being that close with the first one was going on out there. And it'd be impossible for him to believe this story and give him that old crap, you know. The damn jury was out about 6 hours. And it come back, and this friend of mine named Strickler, bachelor farmer, I said, what the heck kept that jury out so long? He says, well, on the first ballot, the six men voted that he was the father, and the six women voted that he wasn't. And so it finally got down to where there was two fellows and we'll stay here the rest of our lives before we turn him loose without having to pay for that baby. And said, Mrs. Burden, after about 2 hours of them saying that they was going to stay there, from now on. Went up and said they was back in the corridor sitting by themselves, and went up and said, gentlemen, says, you all can't tell me that the first and only time that a girl ever had intercourse in her whole life, that a man could get it in far enough to do all the damage that gal's claiming. They started laughing, says, let's take another vote, and that was the end of it. And of course, Clausen had been giving me hell all the time during this. He said, what are you wasting my time for? And I said, I'm just teaching Roy Dempsey a lesson. It's easier to settle a case than it is to have to work all day trying it. And he says, you know that there hadn't been a man in the history of this court that ever got out of one of those cases. And I said, well, I set a record in Grant County.
did you ever see Herbert Cameron He was the youngest of the three defendants, black fellows. Did you ever see Ship or Smith at any time during any of these?
I don't remember that I ever saw them.
Did you know Mrs. Jacob Campbell?
Yeah.
What kind of woman was she?
Oh, she was real fine. Well, she was a heavy set woman. Heavy set. Real fine gal.
Good personality.
Yeah.
Nice. I believe her name was Sarah. Did you ever know a fellow by the name of Everett Clark?
Oh, I don't remember.
He was a defendant, a mob defendant.
Where was he from? Did you know?
From here.
Lived here in Marion?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. There was a bunch of, as I recall, that there were. That most of these people that were arrested weren't the best type citizens in the world to begin with. And
that's right. Do you know Roy Collins?
Yeah, he's on the police force. Then later became a fireman.
What about Billy Connors?
Owned a theater, or run a theater here in Marion. Little short guy.
Had a flashy dog, dresser.
Flashy dresser. Had a dog bigger than he was.
What kind of dog?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Great Dane?
I think it might have been a Great Dane.
Did you ever hear that he made
it? He was always in the Easter pageant with it, in the procession.
Did you ever hear that he made a speech to the crowd over there?
I kind of think that I remember that, yeah.
You ever know Clyde Cox? Farmer? Roy Cox.
Roy Cox was a policeman. I don't remember Clyde Cox.
City police officers wear uniforms during that time?
Yeah.
Blue uniform, tunic type thing, or coat?
Coat and pants. Much similar to the kind of wear here now.
Kind of hat. You have any idea?
About the same kind.
What about, Asa Davis.
I remember that name.
Musician?
I don't remember.
A mob defendant.
Was he a defendant?
He's a big heavy set guy, I think.
I remember that name, but I don't.
Did you know any of the Dieters? But
no.
James?
I know the name, and that's all.
You knew Roy Dempsey, you said?
Yeah.
Dempsey. Any peculiars or idiosyncrasies about Dempsey?
Oh, no. Dempsey was a... pretty nice fellow. You couldn't believe much of what he said if he was on the other side of the lawsuit. He worked out of Harry Roberts' office early, before I came to town. Told as a collector, collecting bills off of people. At that time, even though anybody could get admitted to the bar if they were 21 years old,